The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle, and I'm here to help you be the gospel-centered, compassionate, and influential voice in your girl's life. Today, we're going to talk about your girl's voice. And to help us do that is Beth Bruno. Beth is a curator of the feminine story, amplifier of the feminine voice, and explorer of feminine glory. You can find her doing just that on her weekly podcast, Fierce and Lovely, and in her book, A Voice Becoming, a year-long mother-daughter journey into passionate, purposed living. And we're going to talk about that book today, too. Beth also has a community called Fierce and Lovely Moms Membership Community. And Beth and her husband spent 10 years on staff with Crew, mostly in the Middle East. That led to a deep commitment to the marginal and global voice. She earned her MA in International Community Development and founded a nonprofit which galvanized Northern Colorado to develop a coordinated response to human trafficking. Beth speaks on raising strong girls and intentional parenting. She holds a BA from Northwestern University, where she and her husband met over a quarter century ago. They now live in Colorado with their three kids, ages 14 through 20. Welcome, Beth, and thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
When I flipped open your book while I was standing in the bookstore, your book, A Voice Becoming, A Year-Long Mother-Daughter Journey into Passionate, Purposed Living, and I read the introduction, I felt like you had me at hello. You wrote that you were out to wreck your daughter because there's too much heartache in the world for her not to be heard. And the book was published in 2018, well before a pandemic, awakening racial injustices, the Me Too movement really propelled, and the political divide. So let's talk about what you meant by wrecking your girls.
That's not a typical first line of a book, right? Especially
right.
A parenting book. But I've heard that over and over from other moms who I think, like me, were just ready to parent differently and to really treat our teenagers differently as young adults, ready for the world, created in God's image, right? So yeah, I wanted to wreck my daughter for the things that I believe wreck Jesus.
Mm.
And you just named a bunch of things that I believe wreck Jesus's heart. And there are a host of other things around the world, right? That are just, I wanted to lift her eyes to a bigger vision and a greater story that was being told and help her find herself in that story.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew to do that, it would take wrecking, right? That we, otherwise teen girls are just very focused on what's right in front of them at school and with their peers and the boys and all of the things. I knew it would take a lot to really lift her eyes out of that. So mm-hmm. that was my goal.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You kind of wanted to get her out of her comfort zone and her eyes off of herself. And because we know teens are very self-centered. It's like mm-hmm. it's natural for them to be self-centered. And yeah, I agree. It's up to us to get them out of that and show them there's a whole big world out there that has nothing to do with what's going on with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciated that. You also state that the art of becoming starts with mamas, us. And I agree. Our stories converge before they diverge. And you also give great insight on how to create what you call scaffolding for this year of becoming. What insights do you have about how we can address our own stories and help build support for our girl to live her story?
Hmm. Well, there's a couple different questions in there, I think. So let's talk a little bit about mom's story. Most of us, when we have our adolescent, tween girls, teen girls, are going to start experiencing kind of the presence of our younger self in the room. you know, we're going to be triggered by various things, respond and react in different ways that feel really out of context, really like way over the top, for example, for what just happened. And until we're able to realize, okay, I'm kind of leaking here. Like, this is not about my daughter. This is about me.
Yes.
And how and why am I being triggered in these places? And realizing, oh, my younger girl is here in the room and she actually needs some attention. She needs to be listened to. And that's a very simplified explanation of how our story leaks and how our story is present in our parenting. But let me share, can I share just an example of,
oh, sure.
of, kind of what I mean? And again, I'm going to really simplify and shorten this. But so my girls at one point, which is so humorous because now they just are total makeup free girls. But at one point they got really into makeup and they were watching YouTube tutorials and all the things. And they asked for gift cards for Christmas to Sephora. I'd never been to that store. Like, I'm a Target makeup kind of girl, $10 max. And I'm annoyed by that, right? For foundation. So, but I've already have done some work on my story and I want to delight in my girl's desire. And so I take them to Sephora. And we walk in and I immediately feel my heart start to race and I feel hot and sweaty and I'm just overwhelmed. So again, having recognized when my story is present in that moment, I'm able to name, okay, something's going on here with my body and it's trying to tell me something that I'm not comfortable in this space. And if I don't attend to that feeling, I'm going to let it ooze into my girls. And here's what I would have done prior. I would have started being full of contempt and judgment. I would have said things like, you could buy that for $10 at Target. Or do you really need that? Like, that's so unnecessary. I would have been rolling my eyes and making comments, right? Because I would have let it leak. But because I was aware, I held my tongue and I walked around with them. I let them spend $50 on one item. And inside, I'm wondering, what is going on? What's going on, Beth? And later was able to journal and reflect and just recall that when I was their age, there wasn't money to spend on things like that. And a way to protect my desire was to just condemn the girls who did. And, you know, there's a lot more to that. But that's just a really simple example of where our own story becomes present and it just oozes onto our girls. And so there's just this sense, and I just dipped my toes in it in the book with moms to just begin to name where might your story be activated as you're looking at your tween and young teen girl. And before you go to design a whole year of being intentional with her, let's just pause a moment and think a little bit about your own story and think about some of the various aspects of your story that you want to invite your girl into. Not all of it's processed. Not all of it she needs to hear when she's 13.
Right.
But what does she need to hear? What would help her understand, oh, this is the family I joined. This is the train I got on when I came into this family, however I came into this family. And this informs where I came from. So that's why I think starting with you is so important.
That is really good. That was very well said. And I would agree because I have leaked all over my daughter several times. And I've done all the things you just said, the rolling the eyes, the judgment. And I've had to come back and apologize to her because it wasn't her, it was me. And yes, you have to deal with your own stuff in the midst of whatever the triggering. And then I like the way you said it was just when you all went to go get makeup, because it doesn't have to be something big that triggers you. It can be something very, very small. And I agree that you need to be aware of whatever is going on in your body, which I've talked about in other episodes. Your body is going to betray you. And whatever's happening there, you need to take a breath and take a step back. And just kind of process it a little bit and know, okay, this is me. This is not her. This is me. This is not her. And, you know, I always say pray right then and there, like, Lord, help me. Just the smallest prayer, you know, Lord, help me not put this on her. Lord, show me why this is happening. Lord, you know, give me this time with her and allow her to enjoy and let me process this when I'm alone. You know, just something small to help you move through whatever this is going on at this particular time. Because yeah, in the middle of Sephora is not a time to try to process with your daughter about what's happening in you. So yeah, I really appreciate
it. Exactly. That. Yes. And moms, many moms have asked me in a little kind of a fearful way, like, what if I haven't done that? And what happens when I just am continually triggered and this pressure of I need to have it all figured out? No, it's just like what you said. We come back later and apologize. And we continually tell our girls, look, I'm on a journey too.
Yes.
And that's a big point in my book is that we are all on a journey of becoming. Yes. And if our girls realize that as adult women, we're still doing the work to become more like the image that we bear, then we free them a little bit. We free them from those expectations and that pressure that they should have it all figured out too. So it's actually a beautiful thing if we invite them into our own mess.
Yes. And yes, we're always in progress until we leave this earth, because we are not perfected on this side of glory. So just know you're always in progress and not expected to be perfect. Free your girls and free yourself.
So the book is about designing a year-long rites of passage for our girls. Mm-hmm. But it's not this expectation that at the end of that year, they're like mature, perfect young women, right? And it's not like they're going to remember all that we talked about. And it's not like they're going to become the various, you know, categories that we might cover with them. But what we want to do is build this, what I call a scaffolding, because a scaffolding can continue to be built upon itself, right? As the building gets higher, the scaffolding gets higher, and it supports and contains the building. And so if our girls are the building, then, and we begin to build the scaffolding around them, the sense of here's who we see God created women to be, but you're going to continue to add to that. And you're going to put your experiences and your learning and education and your understanding on that scaffolding. And so we're just starting the structure for our girls, fully expecting God to continue the process with them. And so that's what I mean by building a scaffolding of womanhood for our girls, because it can flex, it can grow, it can change as she does.
That's good too. And yeah, I agree. My daughter, she's 19 now, but I remember how I thought she wasn't listening to me quite a few times. And a couple of times we were in conversation and she said something and it just clicked. I'm like, oh my goodness, she got it. She understands this. And so it'll come out in little conversations here and there and you'll say, okay, she is listening. Okay. And, you know, it's an encouragement to hear her process things on her own about different circumstances or scenarios. And then you hear some of the truths that you have spoken to her come out of her mouth. And so then it's like, okay, God, I know you're with me on this. I know she's listening, even when she's rolling her eyes and like you're lecturing her. I did that. If I could have another do-over, I said it on another episode about one do-over, but I lectured way too much. I mean, I asked questions too, but I should have asked more questions instead of telling more. That's one thing I regret. And I'm still working on that with her as a college student. I'm learning because she's a woman in, you know, the eyes of society, not quite though, but I'm allowing her to process and figure things out and just asking questions and having her think through those questions. And then later she'll come to me and I can see how she processed it. And that, and even if it's not, I'm not in agreement with the way she processed it, because a lot of it is according to their generation. At least I know she's thinking on her own. Mm-hmm. And so that is encouraging. Okay, there's another thing you talk about in your book. You write about our daughters are shaped by us, as we know, and other women. And I also always thought that girls or all of our children they are molded by a lot of outside forces. some of it is friendships, family, even culture to an extent, and that the more positive role models we have in their life, the better. And the more, in my opinion, the more diverse influence you have in their life, the better, because they're going to step out into the real world. And the real world is a diverse world in people, thoughts, ideas, all of it. So talk to us about creating a global sisterhood.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that there's something that has to be shared among women, right, throughout time and throughout culture, because we image God. And mm-hmm. So as women, how do we image him? And yes, there are so many different particularities and shaping factors, but in our core, we must share some things. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to really drive that home by using the voices and the stories of women throughout history and from around the world to showcase, oh, see how she also leads. See how she also sacrifices and just bring in stories from current women and from women who have long passed so that I could really illustrate that for them. Mm-hmm. We live in a very homogeneous community, college town. And so I knew I needed to reach far outside of our community and spaces mm-hmm. to really give them eyes for the breadth of women that God has made. And we did that through books. We did that through films. We did that through travel. We did that on a Zoom call with some friends I knew from around the world, because I was really committed to them understanding that they are a part of this global sisterhood. I'm not just raising American girls. Right. I am raising a global woman who has eyes for the world, who knows that God has a heart for the world and that they're just a part of it, right? And so that took a lot of effort to make sure I was casting that sort of vision.
That's true. It does take effort. That is intentional parenting, though. And intentional parenting, people think is so difficult because it's all this planning and, you know, so forth. However, you know, pray through it and it becomes more natural. To be intentional. And so sometimes it takes a lot of planning, and sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
After a while, you just become like, oh, this would be good for her. Let's do this.
Right. It's amazing how quickly your perspective can shift.
Yes.
So you buy one or two books that are from different voices than perhaps you've ever read before, and they start sitting on your counter or on your coffee table. And all of a sudden, you're noticing different books in the bookstore and in your Amazon cart. Same thing with film. You choose an international film with subtitles, and all of a sudden, Netflix starts showing you all the others, and you have eyes for a different story. It doesn't take a whole lot mm-hmm. to start having the stories come to you.
That is very true. My daughter was watching a show, and it was in Spanish. And she was so excited when Netflix started recommending more stories in Spanish for her. She was like, oh, this is so awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. And she's not very good at Spanish, but she was all excited anyway.
Well, TV shows will help.
Yes. She had to have the subtitles, but she was just excited that Netflix acknowledged, you know, that she was a diverse watcher.
That's what she liked.
Okay, you know, and you have an appendix. I appreciate the nuggets of wisdom you added. You have appendix A, which you titled Bodies, Bras, Besties, and Boys, which I thought was really cute. And then you have an appendix B, the role or impact of fathers or male figures that they have on girls. Why did you feel the need to add the two appendixes to the book?
Mm-hmm. There's also a C and a D, right?
The C is
ideas to fund a year.
Oh,
like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
And D was just other books and film resources. I don't know about you, Rabrina. I love appendices. They feel like the things I can start with, you know, the things that, okay, I don't have to really have space or mental energy to sink into this book, but I can go to the appendix, you know, and see what she wanted to add or what he wanted to add. And so I love appendices, though they were very intentional. The Bodies Boys, Bras and Besties was because I know those are conversations we need to have with our girls, but too many women for me in the church were focusing too much of their intentionality on those conversations. The weekend away to, you know, talk about periods beginning, the special night with dad to talk about purity. And those are good, don't get me wrong. But if those become the only things that we think are a part of inviting her into womanhood and transitioning her into teendom and, you know, rites of passage type of things, it's not enough. So it was intentional for me to acknowledge these are conversations that your girl needs to have with you, but I want it to be secondary to you thinking intentionally about a big, bold year for her. Mm. So that was why I did that one. The role of dad, it's written by my husband. And so he doesn't get space in my book, but his voice is important. And I wanted him to be able to speak to other dads. And I also wanted him as a counselor to acknowledge single women and women whose husbands are deployed or departed, deceased, because that's a reality.
Yes.
And to name that and to honor those women doing it alone and just mm-hmm. to encourage a little bit of a push to still find a father figure for her daughter, that men are important. So I wanted to make sure his voice was a part of that. And then the idea is to fund a rites of passage year. I just want to help women think, like, not roll their eyes and assume, that's not in the budget. Because I have spent decades penny pinching and living within a budget and getting super creative to achieve some pretty fun creative things. And so mm-hmm. I just wanted to give women ideas of how they might do that too. So that was the point of the appendices.
Yeah, I really like that. I liked all of them. And I know that your husband, Chris, for those who have a girl and a boy, that he has great resources for how to encourage boys to be image bearers. And I've been on his site too, because I have a boy and I've looked at some of those things. So yeah, you all are making a very good team and showing how our children in general can be image bearers and look to the global community and loving like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. He has, I'll mention it at the end, just where people can find information specifically for fathers raising daughters or sons. Yes.
Well, you know what?
Or mothers.
That was the last question. So we can talk about that now.
Okay. Well, so Chris's ministry nonprofit is Restoration Project, and people can just go to restorationproject.net to see all that they're doing with fathers. It's pretty cool, if I do mm-hmm. say so myself. Women, if you are interested in finding out more about what I'm up to, BethBruno.org is kind of my, you know, stagnant online resume of sorts. Isn't that what websites and blogs are these days? So you can find stuff there, but fierceandlovely.org is where I'm creating new content all of the time. I have a monthly community for women, mini courses there, and actually would love to offer a free ebook that's intended. I wrote it right before A Voice Becoming came out, and it was meant to prepare mothers of tweens as they get ready to really enter the teen years. And that's called Before the Clock Strikes 12. And so women can download that at fierceandlovely.org/ebook.
Well, I will make sure that all that information is in the show notes. And Beth, it's been a blast. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks,
I really appreciate
so much for having
it.
Me. Great to talk to you.
You too. All right, mamas, remember, God is for you and you are not alone. With his spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
This is my skyship, Dreamer. My cargo is stories. And our destination, dreams.
With Abide Sleep Stories for Kids, you can help your children fall asleep fast and learn about God. To find these kids' bedtime stories, go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Abide Stories for Kids. You can also download the Abide app for more biblical meditations at abide.com.